Haskora with the Kelmol Rachamim to be chanted by Chazan Yossi Malovani. Please.
Please rise.
Is it for them?
Yes.
With the recluse of Rav Hagaon, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Schlitter, I want to greet you all in the name of my wife Anne, my children Yitzchak and Bobby. No, it's over there. It's a different. It's a different. I hope you can hear me now.
Yes.
Okay, fine. I was saying, in the Bereshus Rav Hagaon, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Schlitter, I'd like to greet you all to the 12th Haskorah, 12th Memorial Meeting for our son, Jamie Chaim Menachem, Zechron Lebroche, in the name of my wife, Anne, my children, Yitzchak and Bobby and their children, Jackie and Rassi are here, and my children, David and Carrie, and their children who are not here, Jashi and Jason. We are quite aware and quite sensitive to the fact that this time the Haskorah takes place in the presence of the Godel Hador of Aaron Soloveitchik, and we are humbly grateful that he's honoring Jamie's memory with his presence and with his talk later. The Yahrzeit of Jamie always falls shortly after Shavuos and after Parshas Nosav. And you know that for the last 12 years we have been learning in continuous shiur of the Book of Ruth, which we read on Shavuos. And it seems to me it's significant that there is a line going from Nachshon ben Aminodov to David HaMelech, three generations from Nachshon ben Aminodov to Boaz, and three generations from Obed to David. You remember that I've mentioned often that our son Jamie often invoked the Chut HaMeshulash in the sense of a family, three generations of a family, grandfather, father and son, or grandparents, parents and children, whether a daughter or son, form a strong knot that cannot be severed. And if we take a look at Nachshon, he personifies some qualities that are really were inherent in Jamie. If you take a look at the 12 korbonos of the Nisim, Rabbeinu Bachayim makes a very interesting observation that all other korbonos start with korbono, and Nachshon, although he was the first, starts with the korbono, as if it's the second in line, not the first. He was the first, gave the first korban, but it's as if it was a sequence of various korbonos, to say that Nachshon was so humble that he didn't mind to appear as others came before him. Equally, Rabbi Rochai points out that the word nosi is missing in the parsha of Nachshon. All others are called Nosi or Nesim, he's not called Nosi. This kind of humility was very characteristic for Jamie. Everybody knew that he excelled. Everybody knew he was a leader. When that happened without question, but he never had to stress it. I don't think that he was ever a president or chairman of any kind of organization, and yet from childhood on, he was the head of any group. And the Gemara also points out that Nachshon ben Aminodov was the one who jumped in to the Yamsuf before anybody else dared. He took upon himself Mesirat Nefesh to brave the waves, and when he got into the water, the water split. So we have two qualities in Nachshon, his humility and his Mesirat Nefesh. If you go on three generations further, let me put this down, when we come to Boaz and Ruth, we have two persona in Megillas Ruth, Orpah and Ruth. What was the difference between the two? In the case of Orpah, she decided to classify human beings around her ethnically, so to speak, and therefore she went back to Amo and Eloheha.
Kiki decided she was a Moabite. We were all Jews. She was not interested. And she had her god, Chemosh. She wasn't interested in Jewish religion. But Ruth was totally different. Ruth had real deep interest in what Naomi stood for. She said to Naomi, Elasha telech elech, in the future, I know that you have a great future ahead of you. You're going to amount a lot. Your conduct is such that I want to emulate you. I want to share in your outlook on life, and I want to be with you. Then she goes on, Vasha tolini olin, even in the dark sides of life, when there's sadness and mourning and death and night, she admired Naomi's conduct, and she wants to share in that. As a result of that, she says, Amir, Amir, that kind of nation that produces a person like Naomi, I want to be in that nation. And Elokayach Elokai, the kind of God that created that kind of nation, is a God for me. So therefore, she was deep in her appreciation of her fellow men, completely different than Orpah. And I would say again that Jamie was certainly a Ruth person, somebody who had so much compassion, so much interest in the people around him, that it's just amazing how many expressions of admiration till this day come pouring in. Just to read from Yale University published a volume where they said that Jamie's character was such that if he was kind and he was always concerned with others, and he would drive through the night to comfort somebody who lost a parent. Interestingly enough, the Goyim noticed that in Jamie there was this Avo and this Chesed, the Chutzal Chesed that Jamie often talked about, was so apparent in his life. Now, if we look at the, again coming back to what Ruth said, she comes back to say in the end, Ba'asher tumisi, tumusi omus. She thought, she was not Jewish at this point, that the death is the end. There's no more. Where you die, I die, and that seems to be the end. But her grandson, David, must have pondered over that. Is it really true that death is the end? And we find in the famous Hesper that David HaMelech pronounced over his best friend, Jonathan, he uses similar words that Ruth used, but he said, Bemosam lo nifrodu. Where his great-grandmother said, Hamoveth Yafrid, he said, Bemosam lo nifrod. Which means, before he says, Havnehodim, Vanimim, Bechayehem, Bemosam lo nifrodu, the Jewish attitude, Jewish concept, Jewish philosophy of life and death is totally different, in the sense that life goes on, and there is no separation through the process of death. And this is something I think that we are demonstrating here. Jamie passed away 12 years ago, and after 12 years, the love for him, the desire to emulate him, his excellence in every respect, it shows that Bemosam lo nifrodu, we were not separated through death. Now, what is it, if you again trace from Nachshon all the way down to David, what do we learn? We learn that the example of a godel, of a great person, is the driving force in Jewish education, in Jewish life. And it has been so in our family. I know that on my wife's side, our children were blessed to have grandparents like the Feist Moskowitz and Anyu, he was a Odom godel in his own right, and everybody looked up to him. In my own family, my father was exemplary in seeking out Gedolim. His first influence was Rabbi Ephraim Kalibach in Leipzig, later Josef Kalibach, and many others throughout his life. And he taught us to seek out Gedolim, even if it doesn't mean necessarily you have to learn with them, but to have seen a Godel Batorah, a Godel Bit Midas, makes you a totally different person than somebody who never saw a Godel. I remember my teacher of Shreim Volbe, who was one of the Gedolims, to whom I was very much exposed, he told a story that the Alte von Kelm had the following encounter. When the theories of Darwin's evolution reached the small town of Kelm, where there was a yeshiva, a Talmud came running into the Rebbe, all excited, and said, Rebbe, there is a guy in London who claims that we descend from apes. So very calmly, the altar said, of course, he has to come to that conclusion because he never saw Rabbi Saul Salanter. It sounds funny, but it's really very, very profound. A person who has seen Rabbi Saul Salanter, which means a person who has seen the Godel, the fantastic and supreme development of Midas and wisdom and depth and profundity of learning and scholarship, there can be no link between monkeys and such a person. Those who haven't, they fall into a different category. And therefore, I would say that I'd like to use this occasion to call on my children, my grandchildren especially, to make it a focal point in their education to seek out Gedolim. No matter how far you have to go, seek them out so that you will have seen at some time a Godel in Midas and learning and his conduct to fellow man and to God and so on. And with that in mind, I think we are all privileged to see the Godel Hador among us. And I hope that that will be a stimulation for all of us in along the lines that I've spoken. Reb Aaron, of course, being of the great dynasty of the Soloveitchiks, his family goes back to Reb Chaim Volozhin, and I understand Reb Aaron told me that today is the yahrzeit of Reb Chaim Volozhin, the 15th of Sivan. So, and it also happens to be my father's yahrzeit, whose name was Chaim Volozhin, my father's name was Chaim, and Jamie's name was Chaim. Let's all hope it should be a segula for Chaim, for all of us. The family of Soloveitchiks is one of the greatest phenomena in human history. For 250 years, in every generation, the Godel Hador was a member of the Soloveitchik family. I was privileged to have known Reb Simcha Soloveitchik. Some of you may have known. He was a brother of Reb Chaim. Of course, I knew Reb Yosef Beer, is a Hon of Rocha. I cannot exhaust that subject now. I met many other Soloveitchiks. But Reb Aaron is unique. Somebody just told me the other day, Reb Aaron must be called a legend, because besides the profundity in learning, he's taught a Talmud for 50 years. He is a Godel in Hashkofe, and he is a Moiser Nefesh for Israel, a kind of militancy that puts us all to shame in the health condition that he is. He went personally to Yerushalayim to plead with Rabin. He went to Pollard to give him comfort. I stood with him on Times Square on December 13th for 2-3 hours. We stood in bitter cold, and he was with us, and he gave a tremendous speech of encouragement and expressing his Abbas Yisroel to in his appeal to bring about a secure peace and not the kind of peace that we see nebis in front of us. So therefore, I would summarize to say, to me, Reb Aaron is Ish Halocha. Ish, that means that he's a great posek. He never shrinks back from Paskin Adin. He's an Ish HaHasboro, bringing with him the Brisker Shitte. Ish HaMusar, tremendous Bal Musar. And lastly, but not least, Ish HaMaser, a man of tremendous activism and militancy that we can all learn from in this special period, sad period of history, and take comfort. And we want to wish him, Mayor Be'esrim, that he should be among us for many, many more years and keep inspiring us. With this, I would like to turn to Reb Aaron and ask him to deliver the memorial lecture.
I am taking the liberty to deliver a memorial lecture to Zecher Jamie Ochaiyah Lehman. In the course of the last 50 years, I have delivered numerous memorial lectures as well as eulogies over different people, but in respect to all the people I memorialized or I eulogized, I knew them very well as a result of my contact and acquaintance with them for a long time. However, Chaim Nachem Zecher Levrach, or Jamie as he was commonly called by everybody, was an exception. I met Jamie Lehman only once in 1982, a few months before his passing, at the Fifth Avenue Synagogue. I came there to his lecture, even though I hadn't met him before, because I was eager to hear a lecture by a young scholar of 32. After his lecture, I spoke to him for about 50 minutes only, within which I expressed to him a few comments on his lecture. It is needless for me to tell you that I was very impressed with his lecture. However, I was primarily impressed with Jamie's personality. Why? In the course of the years, I have heard numerous and multifarious lectures by different people, rabbis, yeshivas, scientists, artists, politicians, and such. I was not so impressed with their lectures as I was impressed with Jamie's lecture. Why? One reason is that Jamie's lecture revealed an exact and scientific mind combined with an artistic talent. But that was not the main reason as to why I was impressed with Jamie's lecture. The main reason was that Jamie Motzachen Beina, he found grace in my eyes. I don't know why. What is chen or grace? Chen or grace cannot be defined. It can only be felt. The Torah says in connection with Yosef, Vayimtso Yosef chen beino. Yosef found chen in the eyes of the head of the prison. The Torah also says in connection with Neach, V'neach motzo chen bein adishem, that Neach found grace in the eyes, so to speak, of the Lord. And the Ramban there says, what does it mean, chen? Chen, the Ramban says, means masov noi munimi, v'chen v'yitem chinei b'eini sarvis asach. What the Ramban means can be expressed succinctly in the following statements. Grace consists in the fact that the person's external and internal behavior is beautiful and correct. It means that he is humble and unassuming. There are many speakers and lecturers who are very eloquent, but who try to impress the audience through their eloquence and rhetoric. Such speakers and lecturers are not internally beautiful, even though they appear externally polished and correct. When Jamie spoke, I felt that he was full of chen and devoid of malice, jealousy, and even ambition. Even he was devoid even of constructive and productive ambition. He did not try to impress the audience, nor did he try to impress himself. Sometimes you hear an eloquent speaker, you see he has so much nachas with himself. When Jamie spoke, I didn't see that he enjoyed his lecture. The Flame Eiger said about his father, Rav Akiva Eiger, Me'ilom lo yitztaya mikushyo v'lo yinene mitiyos. His father, Rabbi Tiveya, was never pained by the fact that he had a problem that he couldn't resolve. And he never enjoyed the fact that he was able to think of a brilliant answer. My father, Rabbi Tiveya, was never pained by problems that he could not resolve, nor was he thrilled by tirutzim or solutions that he thought of. He knew that there are certain halachas that could never be understood. My grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker, expressed that in a similar way. He said, "Eid men kennelich gefinnen aferetz oi vakashe, dam tafen analysieren die Kashe, und eid men versteh die Kashe, he does the best of aferetz." If one cannot think of a tiretz, aferetz, on a certain kushyo, then let him analyze the kushyo, and then the kushyo itself is the best tiretz. The topic of my lecture tonight is the respective roles of Moshiach ben Yosef and Moshiach ben David. There is quite a divergence between the destiny of Moshiach ben David and the destiny of Moshiach ben Yosef. The destiny of Moshiach ben David is discussed explicitly and vividly and elaborately in Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. Moshiach ben David is destined to redeem the Jewish people and all of mankind, to bring the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael, to build the Beis HaMikdash, and to inspire the nations of the world to recognize the one God. On the other hand, Moshiach ben Yosef is destined to pave the way for Gulas Yisrael, Gulas Eretz Yisrael, Gulas Ha'odom, and Gulas Ha'ilom. However, Moshiach ben Yosef, while he paves the way for Gula, is unable to reap the fruits of his sacrifices and his contributions towards redemption. Moshiach ben Yosef is a very, very tragic figure. He himself dies, and the Jewish people and all good people reap the fruits of his labor. The Talmud in Misachah Shabbos says, "Al tigu b'mshicha, do not touch, do not criticize my Mashiach, my Messiah, Elutineke shel b'sradon." The expression Elutineke shel b'sradon does not have reference only to little children who study Torah. It has reference to all students of Torah, young, middle-aged, and old alike. A Torah scholar is not called in the Talmud Chacham, but Talmud Chacham. A philosopher means not one who is wise, but who loves wisdom. It's the same idea. A Torah scholar is always a student. He never graduates. Even if he has 10 degrees, he still is a permanent student. He always tries to learn new things and new insights from everyone, from his teachers, from his peers, and even from himself. Who is a wise man who learns from everybody? Everybody, even from himself. The Chacham of today is the Talmid of the Chacham of yesterday. I mentioned before that whereas Moshiach ben David is mentioned many times explicitly and vividly and elaborately in the Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, Moshiach ben Yosef is hardly mentioned. To be exact, Moshiach ben Yosef is mentioned only once, at the end of Misachah Sukkot. The name Moshiach ben Yosef is mentioned explicitly at the end of Misachah Sukkot. At the end of Zechariah, the pasuk says, "V'softo oretz mishpoches mishpoches levad, mishpoches beis David levad, unishayim levad, mishpoches beis Noson levad, unishayim levad, mishpoches Hashim levad, unishayim levad." Kol mishpoches hanishoris, mishpoches, mishpoches levad, unishayim levad. On that day, there shall be a great mourning in Yerushalayim. and the land shall mourn, every family apart, by itself, separately, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain will mourn apart, and their wives apart. What is the purpose of this great mourning? The Talmud at the end of Sukkot says that the purpose of this great mourning was to eulogize the tragic death of Mashiach ben Yosef. It's the only time that the Talmud mentions the expression Moshiach ben Yosef, and to eulogize also the tragic death of the Yetzer Hara, of constructive and productive ambition. The death of Moshiach ben Yosef is to be celebrated with solemnity and trepidation, not through frivolity, as it is unfortunately celebrated today. If we want the tragedy of the death of Mashiach ben Yosef to be followed by the phase of the Gula of Mashiach ben David, by the redemption of the Jewish people and all of mankind, then we are obligated to act with a sense of responsibility, solemnity and trepidation, not for music and not for singing. But the question arises, what is the purpose of all the suffering of the various Moshiach ben Yosef throughout the generations? What is the purpose of the various Holocausts throughout the generations? What was the purpose of the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Churban Bayis Sheni? This is a very puzzling and perplexing question that puzzled and perplexed all the prophets, and did Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu said to Almighty God, Hareinu Eskoidecho, show me thy glory, God responded, V'hoyiso Esachirai, Ufona Leiro, and thou shalt see my back, but my face shall not be seen. What is the meaning of this expression? The Yalkut Shemini says that the expression my back has reference to the historical events after providence has traversed its full march through the avenues of time, through the ages. The expression Ponali Ro has reference to the historical events as these events are being unfolded before our own eyes like today. We cannot understand the purpose of suffering while the providence is being, the march of providence is being unfolded before our eyes. Because if we want to appreciate a picture, an ordinary picture that was made by a human artist, not by a divine artist, we have to stand a little far away in order to appreciate the beauty of the lines of the picture. How much more so is it true that we cannot appreciate the divine beauty of the divine cosmic march through the avenues of time. We have to realize that there are certain historical events that are beyond the inquisitive grasp of the human limited mind. The Haftorah of Ma'aseh Merkavah on the first day of Shavuos discusses in a figurative manner the purpose of suffering in the world on three different levels. Number one, on a universal level, the purpose of suffering of mankind today. There's so much suffering in Israel, in the United States, Rwanda, in Asia, in Africa. Thousands of human beings are being killed constantly in Rwanda. Too numerous even to count, as it was mentioned in New York Times. Number two, on a national level, in Israel, so many casualties since the beginning of the so-called peace pact. And thirdly, on a private individual level, the prophet Yechezkel says, "Vayi bishleishim bishonovis b'chamisha l'chidesh v'ani b'seichagelo al ma'akvo niftechu shari ha'shamayim v'erem ha'si alikim b'chamisha l'chidesh yashonu ha'chamishis v'golus yiyochim hoyoi hoyo dvar avishem el yechezkel ben buzi ha'kim b'eretz kazdim al ma'akvo v'atiyoloi v'atiyolai shom יד הדישם ואירו והנה רוח סיורו בו מן הצופן ואיש נסלקחה והנה גלי סביב ומתיחו כן החשמל ומתיח כן החשמל מתיחו איש ומתיחו דמוס אב החייס וזה מראה דמוס אודם להנו ואב הפונים לאחס ואב הכנופיים לאחס להם ורגליהם רגל ישורו וכף רגליהם ככף רגל עגל, ונציצים כנחיש אסכולו, וגדי אודום מתחת כנפיהם על ארבע שרידיהם, ופניהם וריביהם על ארבעתם, חיבר איש על החיסו כנפיהם, לא יישא בו איש אל עיד הפונו ילכו, ודמוס פניהם, דמוס אודום, ופני אריה אל הימין לארבעתם, ופני שיר מייסמי להבטן, ופני נשע להבטן, ופניהם וחמפיהם פעודס למיילו, ויהי שתיים חיבוריס איש, ושתיים מחסיס ויסנו, ויהי שלי לפנף ילכו, אלא שלי אשמו רוח הולכס, ילכו, ויסבו בלחתום, ודמוס החייס, מראים, תדחה, אש, ביאריס, כמרי הלפידים, כמרי הלפידים, היא מסלחס אל החייס, בין החייס, ונגל איש, ומנו איש יציבוק, והחייס רוצה ושוב, כמרי הבוזוק. ואלה החייס, ונעיף הנחות בורץ, אצל החייס. לאבאס פונוף, מרי רפנים ומסיים, כן תרשיש, ודמוס אחד לאבטון, ומראיין ומצאיין כאשר יהיו אהיפן בשיח אהיפן, על אבאס ריביהן בלכתון ליסבו בלכתון, וגביהן וגיל עליהן, ועיר עליהן, וגבי שם מלאי סיניים, וסוביף לאבטון, ובלכס החייס יכלו יפן נטלון, ובנושא החייס מעל אורץ, ינוסו יפנים על אשר יהיה שומו רוח ולחס, ילכו שומו הרוח ולחס, ויפנים ינוסו ונוסו, כי רוח החיו ביפנים, בלכתם ילכו, ובעומדם יעמדו, ובנוסו מעל אורץ ינוסו יפנים ולמוסו, כי רוח החיו ביפנים, ודמוס על ראשי החי, כן רוקי הנוטו על ראשיהם, כן הקרח המוירו, נוטו על ראשיהם ומיילו, וממעל הוציאה אשר על ראשון, כמרי אבן הספיר, דמוס כיסאי, ועל מרי הכיסאי דמוס כמרי אודום, כמרי דמוס אודום הולך ומיילו, הוא מרי דמוס כבי לבישם. Now, I'm going to translate it. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th of the month, as I was among the exiles by the Diva Kebar, that the heavens opened up and I saw visions of God. On the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of the exile of Joachim, the word of the Lord came to Yechezkel, the son of Buzi, the priest, in the land of Kasdim, by the river Kebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon me. And I looked, and behold, a storm wind which came from the north, a great fire, and the cloud flaring up, and the brightness around it, and out of the midst of it, like the appearance of electricity, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst of it, the appearance of four creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every face had four wings, and their feet were straight, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of the calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had the hands of men under their wings and their four sides, and the four of their faces and their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went straight forward. As for the likeness of the faces, they had the face of the likeness of a human being, of the face of a lion, and of the face of an axe, and the face of an eagle. As for the likeness of the living creatures, it was like the fire of burning coal, burning like torches. It flashed up, up and down. Among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, and living creatures ran and returned like the appearance of living creatures, and over the heads of the living creatures there was the likeness of a firmament, like a layer of an awful frozen layer of ice stretched out over the heads above, and above the firmament there was the likeness of a sapphire stone. On top of it there was like the likeness of a throne, and on top of the throne there was the likeness of a human being, and I saw something like the appearance of fire around about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. What is the meaning of this mysterious and esoteric prophetic vision? I am not Chas V'Sholom trying to explain the real meaning of this prophetic vision. I am only attempting to explain the